translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding His own energy, keeps this cosmic manifestation visible and, again, sometimes renders it invisible. He is both the supreme cause and the supreme result, the observer and the witness in all circumstances. Thus, He is transcendental to everything. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Responsively, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding His own energy, keeps this cosmic manifestation visible and again sometimes renders it invisible. He is both the supreme cause and the supreme result, the observer and the witness in all circumstances. Thus, He is transcendental to everything. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Purport of Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has multipotencies. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. Therefore, as soon as He likes, He uses one of His potencies, and by that expansion He creates this cosmic manifestation. Again, when the cosmic manifestation is annihilated, it rests in Him. Nonetheless, He is infallibly the supreme observer. Under any circumstances, the Supreme Lord is changeless. He is simply a witness and is aloof from all creation and annihilation. Om Jnana Tivirandasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chiksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So the title of this chapter, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, brings us to the subject matter, the topic of surrender. So Srila Prabhupada explains the Sanskrit name surrender is being called Sharanagati. And in this process of surrender, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there are six aspects. And one aspect is being here emphasized in this text by Gajendra in his precarious when he was in his precarious condition. That aspect is protection. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. And there are many aspects in this text. This text as each one, every one of the texts of Srimad Bhagavatam, presents the great glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. How in every text the glory is manifested is explained, because every text is the supreme authority. Actually, our movement is a movement, and our philosophy is based in authority. And this Srimad Bhagavatam has been presented to us as the most authoritative source of knowledge. And it is a fact that no one can challenge the Srimad Bhagavatam successfully. Of course, there are always madmen. Someone may try. But we cannot find any successful challenge and defeat of Srimad Bhagavatam, provided there is the proper person to defend the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he's also called the Bhagavatam. He's the Bhagavatam devotee. So we should pray, because we are all having to defend the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is our position. We have been asked by the Sattvic succession to defend the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we may pray very humbly, just as Gajendra is praying, requesting protection. We may pray that we may gain entrance into the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. We always like to point out how Srimad Bhagavatam was understood by Brahma in four verses. And from there on, so many acharyas saw so many things with their transcendental vision in those verses. The Srimad Bhagavatam now is 18,000 verses, although originally it's called Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam, four verses, Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest authority. And it is the greatest authority because it is able to do what no one else is able to do in this world, no other authority. And that is to explain, describe very minutely the supreme entity that exists in all kinds of creation, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. No other scripture can describe so minutely and precisely that supreme entity. And here so many characteristics are being explained. Who can defeat this? First of all, who can possibly imagine this kind of prayers? Srimad Bhagavatam is such a great scripture that today we are accepting the opinion of an elephant just because he is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a supreme scripture, and it is very important to note that its glory is represented in the fact that no matter how much time passes, it will never change. We will have to adjust everything to Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not that we have to adjust the Srimad Bhagavatam to everything, but it is such an authority that we will have to adjust everything to Srimad Bhagavatam, topmost scripture. So here are so many characteristics. Who can speak of God in other religions? And here's one instance how this nice prayer is describing, and we will listen to more prayers, descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Avidhadrik Sakshi, seemingly redundant opinions, expressions. He sees everything, he's the observer, Avidhadrik, and then Sakshi, he's the witness. Of course, there is a difference. One thing is to see, another thing is to bear witness. So, Krishna, this is very important, Avidhadrik and Sakshi, related with Avatu, the topic we began to speak about, surrender. Surrender and protection. Surrender means protection. And in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have to be very much interested in these two things. Because Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada always described it, means to declare a war. So, a war means fear. And fear means there is need of protection. So the devotee, he's supposed to be a very meek and humble person, on the one hand. And just like Gajendra, at every moment he is expected to request protection. On the other hand, he's bold enough to declare war. Someone who may seem to be such a helpless person, the devotee of the Lord. On the other hand, he's bold enough to declare what we can analyze as the greatest war, the war against Maya. Actually, this is the most important war. This material world is a place of war. And in some instances, Prabhupada would say this is all craziness, that we think we can achieve peace in this material world. It is not possible. People sometimes become perplexed as to our position in the face of war. And they believe that, they assume in the beginning, by their own concoction, that the devotees should be pacifists. So of course, we are pacifists in our own understanding, which is Shastra's understanding, and this, what Prabhupada called peace formula, is there in Bhagavad Gita. Suhridam sarvabhutanam shantim richati. That peace formula, shanti, can be achieved just when we accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the center, Krishna as the center of everything. As described in that verse at the end of the fifth chapter, the last verse, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. So there it is described, the different items of peace. And that acceptance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very important, is the most essential item. So in this war that boldly we are declaring as members of this Krishna consciousness movement, the process of surrender is of utmost importance, because we require protection. So Gajendra is saying here, don't fear that one, this text is indirectly telling us how we should have no fear of surrendering and requesting this protection from Krishna. Because you should understand that He's watching everything. But not only He's watching, this is why these two expressions are important, avidhadrik and sakshi. They may seem redundant, but they're not. Because not only that He's an observer, but He will always bear witness. He's there to bear witness. Sometimes, so many people may see an incident, but who wants to go and report it or bear witness? That's another thing. Completely different. And then, the next thing is that witness, as we all know from Ishupanishad introduction, four defects. So if you bring five witnesses, they'll describe five different incidents. Very difficult problem. One says that this happened, the other says, well, almost like that, but this also happened. And also another one says another thing, and like that. So here, you shouldn't be fearful. He's watching everything, and He is parat para. Another thing told to us. He is parat para. He is transcendental even to transcendence. You see? Because normally, and this is very important against the impersonalist, because Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam jajgyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. That the Supreme Lord, the first thing or most usual thing to understand of transcendence is Brahman. So in this text is telling us that there is something above that. Parat para. That He may be para, you may speak of transcendence, but there is something parat para, above that transcendence. And of course, not that there is something, but that there is someone above transcendence. And He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should have no fear, and this is very important to understand. Because This Krishna consciousness movement, for example, there are always wars in this material world. There's no way to avoid it, because even if you think there is no openly weapon war going on, a straight war of shooting and killing, you are always being at war with the fact that we are dying. Every day we are killed another day. Every day we are one day closer to our killing. And this has, there is no way we can stop this. We have been injected with the poison at the time of death. At the time of birth, that poison that is going to take us to the moment of death. And there's no way to counteract that, materially speaking. So everybody has to undergo. And the only difference is whether we have a devotee's death or a non-devotee's death. That's the only difference. And this is explained by Srila Narada Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is a devotee's death? It goes so quickly that the comparison is given. It's so imperceptible that the comparison is given that it's just like lightning and its light. So that occurs simultaneously, and Prabhupada explains in that purport how in the same way the devotee is changing a material body and taking a spiritual body immediately, simultaneously. So there is no feeling of this death for a devotee. But then we have so many descriptions of Yamadutas and the death of a non-devotee, and then the having to take birth again. So this protection, one of the items of Sharanagati surrender, is very important. And the devotee should totally and completely, this is the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Srimad Bhagavatam only has spiritual solutions. It is our main scripture, and it just has spiritual solutions. It has no material solutions. So a devotee is not expected to arrange for a material solution. He's not depending on that. When the devotee is seemingly arranging materially, all he is doing is using his magic wand and converting all material in spiritual by putting it at the service of the Supreme Lord. So the devotee may seem to be acting materially. Prabhupada always explained like that. But it is a complete different thing, although from the external point of view, like he always here in Los Angeles would point out how the neighbors were so envious that we had cars and buildings and like that. And then he pointed out very quickly, we invite them, so you also come and participate of this riches. But they wouldn't surrender to Krishna to also use our cars and our buildings. Anyway, it seems from the external point of view we have so many material things. So it may seem that the devotee is similarly engaged. But it is not. The devotee is just turning everything material into spiritual by putting it at the service of the Lord. And for this, the protection of the Lord is necessary. Because a devotee never considers himself the doer at no stage of his life. As he advances, he feels himself more in the need of protection. As he advances, he feels more in a precarious condition, and he feels more at a threat at every second. Because this material world, the devotee is not in illusion to think that this is a safe place at any stage of his life. This place is the place of danger. Martya Loka is the place of death. And we cannot change that. We will have to leave this material world. The only way to change it, of course, yes, there is one way, and there is always an exception, and that way is to turn it into spiritual, and that we can always do, at least in our own context. And that's the only solution we can have, is to turn everything into spiritual. So this protection is given to us through parampara. This is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. The glory of Srimad Bhagavatam is resting in that it will always remain as the authority, and that authority will always remain intact thanks to the process of parampara, that it is a descending process. This morning we read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it was explained in the purport by Prabhupada. He was quoting sixth canto, Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, that this Krishna consciousness movement, the rules and regulations are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That our opinion should be, of course, ideally, we should have that. That's why I was saying we should pray that we gain entrance into the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it is Rajaguhyam, a very well-kept secret. Rajaguhyam. We have to be allowed into the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that allowance into the understanding is given by Srila Prabhupada in the first purport of Srimad Bhagavad Gita by saying that Bhagavad Gita, and of course that means Vedic scriptures, have to be understood with the help of a devotee. These scriptures cannot be studied on one's own concoctions, but it has to be studied with the help of a devotee. And that devotee is a representative of parampara. And if he is a representative of parampara, that means he is guru. Otherwise, if there is no guru, then there is no representative of parampara. Then the parampara, once again, as it happened 5,000 years ago, is broken. We do not believe that when Srila Prabhupada left, he left our movement crippled. If this ISKCON movement, because now there is a concocted philosophy that it's not Dharmantu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam, some concocted philosophy about initiations. Now some people want, and they're finding people to hear him and people to agree to this proposal. They want to institute now the let's make a deal guru. And this is a very new invention, concoction. Let's make a deal guru. Gurudev, please initiate me with the understanding that you're not the guru. The guru is Srila Prabhupada. So this is a new philosophy we are hearing, and it is a great attack to parampara. Great attack to parampara. Because it means that Srila Prabhupada left this movement, as I was saying, crippled, because in Nectar of Devotion he explains that only until the time of initiation the actual connection with Krishna consciousness occurs. That's right in the introduction of Nectar of Devotion. And there is no way of connecting with Krishna consciousness, the actual connection, without guru. You see, just imagine that we are presenting these books, and you may count how many hundreds of times the word guru, spiritual master, is presented in Prabhupada's books. But now, we will have to write new books, you see, so that when people read, when new disciples read, that you have to please the guru, it means not this guy. You see? Because he's something, some other kind of guru. We just understand there are three kinds of gurus in Shastra: Parama Pradakshaka Guru, Siksha Guru, and Diksha Guru. In Adi Lila, anyway, in all our literature, it is explained how important. In Adi Lila, he's saying, Prabhupada is saying, it is imperative to take initiation. He says, if someone thinks he's above taking initiation and above consulting a guru, then he becomes immediately an offender of the Supreme Lord. And this process of initiation is not that Prabhupada now intended, otherwise he would have expressed, that now we have a different kind of initiation that is not indicated in Shastra. Different kind. And actually that, if we think like that, we are instituting the greatest aparad, which is to jump over the guru. Because it means, you initiate me, but I can go directly to Prabhupada, over you. I can pass over you. There was a story that impressed me very much. In 1974, in January, we had Prabhupada's personal servant up to that December. He came to our temple to live for some time. Then again, he became Prabhupada's servant. He was the one who was for most of the time Prabhupada's servant. And there, when he came to our temple, he was there for 3 or 4 months. Once I was taking him someplace and he told me this story, and I was very much impressed by this story. And he said one day there was this devotee chanting outside of Prabhupada's quarters, I don't know in what temple. There was this picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And this devotee, he was chanting at this picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta very intensely. Very intensely, you know, with all the required movements of the head and, you know, very much looking at Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Prabhupada happened at that time to appear, and he was going to enter his quarters, and he was with his entourage, the servant and like that, some disciples, and he stopped and saw him chanting like that at the picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And he approached him and asked him, "What are you doing?" So he gave a very clever explanation. Very intelligent indeed. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking that the grandfather is more merciful than the father. So now I'm praying to the grandfather because I need his mercy. Because the grandfather is more merciful than the father." Srila Prabhupada became furious and shouted at him that you have no connection whatsoever with my Guru Maharaj except through me. No connection whatsoever except through me. So this is the meaning of parampara system. Of course, Prabhupada explains in many parts, I have a very nice tape where he explains, there are different degrees of gurus. He said, that's another thing. One thing, and I think this philosophy, of course, we all know this philosophy is coming from this concocted philosophy, is coming from frustration, and it's what you say in English, you Americans, you say this, throwing the baby with the bathwater. So we should not be extremists. So some people, they may feel there has been imitation of Srila Prabhupada, there has been imitation of a level of pure devotion. It's not only a level of guru, but obviously Prabhupada is much more than guru. He is something totally different. So that's another thing. The externals, on whether there should be a seat or not, that can, you know, what size of the seat or this or that, that's another thing. That doesn't make a guru. You see, this is a mistake. We think we can make guru, or guru may think that he needs all these externals. Guru is explained by Mahaprabhu in so many ways. He knows the science of Krishna, for example. That's one of the things he says. And also he's saying, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartan. Guru doesn't need that you elect him, you see. This is an important item. It says, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. Everybody in this Krishna consciousness movement is in that way a guru. As I was explaining, this process, Prabhupada always thought, he always preached to us, that this is a movement to create brahmanas. And brahmana is the guru of society. And as I was pointing out in another class, we are every day, at every single moment almost, by belonging to this Krishna consciousness movement, at every single moment we are being gurus.